Hello, everybody. Welcome back into your latest episode of Locked On Colts, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Today, as always, your host, Evan Sutter, joined by our weekly guest on the show, Zach Kicks of State People. How are you today, Zach?
Pretty good, man. It's been a while since I've been on with the draft season and all-season mode that we've been in, so it's good to be back on, and thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem at all. I know you've been busy this time of year, draft season, and it's really just one of my favorite times of the year, especially now, right now. But week before free agency, the draft's in about 5-6 weeks. We're in the peak part of the offseason here, which is super exciting for, I think, a lot of Colts fans here, because this feels like the most anticipated offseason in a very long time. But we're going to spend most of today's show talking with Zach about maybe our best-case scenarios, what the best options are for the Colts at the first three rounds of the draft, 13, 34, 44, and 75, two picks in the second round. So we'll start off here, Zach. I was actually just reading tea leaves here the last couple of days, the reports and stuff, and it seems like – maybe, I don't know about you, Zach, but it feels like the Chargers kind of hold the Colts card, so to say, at the quarterback spot here, because if they don't go with Justin Herbert at number 6 or Jordan Love at 6, and they, let's say, go Teddy Bridgewater or trade for Cam Newton, then they're probably going to take off the tackle at 6. If you get past them at 6, and Carolina's team's pretty intent on waiting until 2021, tanking for Trevor Lawrence, just scratch them off the board there, there's a very good chance here that the Colts might have their own choice at 13 between Justin Herbert and Jordan Love, which I would never thought would happen about a month ago.
Yeah, it's draft season. There's a lot of reports and smoke screens and everything going out there right now. And a lot of things could happen. Who knows? I mean, the scenario could happen where, like, obviously Burrow's going to go number one to the Bengals. I think that's the only thing really set in stone. But, you know, does Tua go to the Redskins at 2? I don't know if that's really possible or really plausible, but that could happen. I mean, Tua goes to the Dolphins is probably, one of the more mocked things right there. But if Tua goes to the Redskins, does Jordan Love go to the Dolphins? You know, there's a lot of dominoes that could fall. Maybe Carolina likes one of these guys a lot, and they're just kind of leaking that Trevor Lawrence stuff so nobody tries to jump them. Chargers might still go the quarterback. And then there could be teams trading from behind the Colts that trade up into there and get one of those guys. So, there's 100 different ways this could go. That's just the beauty of draft season, the beauty of the NFL draft itself. So I personally, even if, say the Chargers sign a Teddy Bridgewater or they trade for Cam or whatever they may do this offseason, sign Tom Brady even, I would still prefer the Colts to look for that trade up if they really love one of those quarterbacks and they see them slipping, because you never know with the NFL today. I mean, I remember when I was a little kid, the Redskins really liked Aaron Rodgers, and they were going to take Aaron Rodgers on the late part of the first round, but they just kind of waited, and they trade up right behind the Packers, and the Packers end up taking Rodgers, and the Redskins got Jason Campbell. So you just can't be, too complacent with it. You got to be aggressive if that quarterback really is who you want. And if it is Jordan Love, if it is Justin Herbert, then, even if you see him pass that Chargers pick, I would say still try to trade up and get your guy.
At this point in the process, Zach, where would you lean as far as Herbert versus Love? Because I feel like it's gotten a lot closer in the last month or two since we last talked. And really, Jordan Love's closing the gap here because of his potential and his upside and probably his arm talent as well. And we just had Jordan Reed at the Draft Network on the show yesterday, and he mentioned he had Jordan Love at his QB3. Where would you rank Herbert and Love right now? Because we have a clear, crystal clear one and two with Burrow and Tua, but who's your third?
Yeah, so Love has been my QB3 since like November, I think. And even though Herbert, I think, has done some good things throughout this process, I'd still take Love as my quarterback 3, mainly because, what we've talked about in this podcast before, I just think his upside is a little bit higher than Herbert's. And honestly, I kind of like his floor a little bit better than Herbert's too, which is kind of crazy to think when you look at their stat lines. But I think a lot of what you kind of see with Love's film is a guy trusting his arm too much and playing with guys who just aren't great talent-wise. And you kind of saw a lot of struggles that way. Obviously, he has a lot of work to do. His accuracy is a – well, I wouldn't say his accuracy. I would say his kind of just consistency is a little all over the place right now, and I think he does need to improve that. I think he needs to be more in rhythm going forward as he gets in the NFL. But a lot of my fears with Herbert come from, he stay in the same very stagnant, very simplistic offense in college, and I just don't love that kind of step he's going to have to take here going to the NFL right away with, going from just bubble screen, slant, streak offense that he ran at Oregon, coming to the NFL and having to, read a whole offense, read a defense, and also improve on some of his, you know, inconsistent flaws and stuff like that and missed throws that he made. So I actually just feel more comfortable overall with Jordan Love than I do with Justin Herbert. I think both are very talented, very flawed prospects. But as of right now, I prefer Jordan Love, you know, for the Colts pick at 13 also as my quarterback 3.
And looking outside the quarterbacks for a second here, to round up maybe the guys we're going to talk about at 13, I know you're very high on Henry Ruggs. I think it's a very good possibility he's on the board still at 13. Jerry Jeudy could be on the board too. Henry Ruggs does go, let's say, at 12 to Vegas. What do you think about Ruggs and Jeudy and also maybe the defensive guys here? I think are going to be guaranteed on the board, honestly, at this point. That's some really, really weird shakes out with Caleb on Chase on of LSU and Juwan Kimball of South Carolina.
Yeah, you know, there's a ton of ways that this could fall. I mean, no one would have thought Derwin James a couple years ago would have been available, I think, at 14 or 15 for the Chargers pick. And maybe we could see a fall like that for Isaiah Simmons. I doubt it, just because he had this elite combine where he would have been the best athlete ever at like 12 different positions in combine history. So he probably doesn't fall, but who knows? We never really know how these guys are going to fall until we kind of get to draft night. Even then, it's still up in the air as it's happening. But starting with the receivers there, Henry Ruggs, I think, is going to be the highest graded receiver I've ever had. And I've been doing this since, I think, 2016, probably right ahead of Michael Thomas the year he came out. I had him as my 7th overall player that year. But Henry Ruggs, I think, when you just turn on that film, you just see a guy who possesses this elite speed and elite just quickness and fluidity that just really very few players ever have. I mean, I've seen it with DeSean Jackson. I've seen it with Tyreek Hill. But besides that, I really haven't seen, you know, players move like him before. And just the way that he wins, you know, he doesn't win just by being fast. He wins with, you know, route running, good releases, really strong hands. He's not afraid to go over the middle and in traffic. I just think overall you have a very, very complete player with a really high ceiling because he also has that elite speed and that go-to. So if Henry Ruggs was the pick at 13, you know, I would still prefer that quarterback. But if the quarterbacks are all gone, you know, somehow it plays out that way. Yeah, Henry Ruggs, I think, would be a great addition. And then Jerry Jeudy as well. I mean, I think his route running is outstanding. I think he's got a really, really high floor in the league because I think that, you know, at the end of the day, he's always going to have that route running and that twitchiness with the way he moves. So I think, yeah, he'd be another really good, safe pick there at 13. And then with Kinlaw and Chaisson, you know, that pass rush is big. You know, we talk about it all the time. Last year, the Colts did not have a great pass rush. It was mostly just Justin Houston doing it himself after Kamoka Turi went down. So, yeah, getting a guy like Kinlaw who has, you know, sky-high potential, who could be maybe a Chris Jones-type player in the NFL, or getting a guy like Chaisson who, you know, he's a little bit undersized, but he plays like he's just a normal-sized defensive end, and he has that kind of effort, intensity, and sky-high upside. So, yeah, I think any of those guys would be good picks at 13. You know, preferably there's a quarterback still there, or they have eyed on, you know, they've keyed in on one of their quarterbacks they like. But if they decide to address the position here in free agency, or they want to wait until 2021, or so be it. Yeah, I think any of those guys would be really good picks at 13.
As of today's, like, here in the early parts of March, how would you cluster, let's say, those five guys we talked about there with Jordan Love, Justin Herbert, Henry Ruggs, and you have Kinlaw and Chase on? If all five are on the board there at 13, how would you rank them A to E?
Okay, yeah, to start with that, I would have Love at number one and then Herbert at 2. I just think that quarterback is just so important. And regardless of what I, you know, have these guys ranked-wise, because Henry Ruggs is going to be, I think, a top 5 overall player in this class for me by the end of it. And I think Jordan Love and Herbert will probably be in the 20s or so for me. I just think that quarterback position is way too important. So, yeah, Love and Herbert my top 2, and then Ruggs would be my number 3. Then I'd probably go Chaisson at number 4, and then Kinlaw at 5. Even though I might like Kinlaw a little bit more as a prospect, I just think Chaisson, I think, is a little bit more important for the Colts right now, getting more of that kind of talent on the edge there. But, you know, you could kind of switch those last three around any kind of way. They could pick any of those last three guys. I really like all three of them. I think there are, you know, all three of them are top 15 players in this class. So yeah, I mean, preferably quarterback, but again, those other three guys are really talented, and I would love to have them on the Colts.
Before we go into the 34 part of the show, just dive into guys in the second round, it makes sense for this team. We haven't touched much on Caleb on Chase on this show, and I wanted to talk about him with you for a second, Zach, because I feel like the closer we get to this draft, the more I feel like he's kind of a Ballard type of draft pick, especially with the report interest they had last year in Brian Burns. He went before, obviously, the Colts went in the draft, but reportedly a lot of interest that the Colts had in him at the time. And if they like Brian Burns, Zach, I feel like they're going to absolutely love Caleb Von Chiasson with his burst and his elite athleticism on the edge there. What do you think his upside is?
I think it's pretty good. And I think the rare thing about Chiasson, which doesn't get talked about enough, you know, with Burns, he was your classic super speedy, super bendy, super quick guy who could just, you know, make tackles look really embarrassed on an island out there. But with Chiasson, what you have is a guy who maybe isn't as polished or as nuanced as a player like Burns, but he is really physically rugged and strong for a guy his size. I mean, he looks like a safety up in the box, especially because you watch his film and he's wearing number 18. So he looks like he's like a safety up in the box or something like that. But you'll see him set the edge against sweep plays and stuff, run plays, and he just locks it down out there. He's got really strong hands, and he makes a lot of plays in the run. And then, you know, the sack production wasn't great throughout his college career, but you can definitely see the flashes and the moments of his potential. So, yeah, I think he's definitely a bit of a project, and I think he's more of a project than maybe even Burns was last year. But I think you have so much to work with right away that I think he could be a really good player in the NFL.
Under the scenarios, Zach, I'll just say we get on this rabbit hole for a second. They do go a Jordan Love at 13. What would you immediately attack at 34? Would you go wide out at that point?
You know, it definitely depends on how the board falls. You know, if say, a guy like Jalen Reagor or Laviska Shenault are there, or even Brandon Ayuk, I think that I would be very, very interested in one of those guys at 34. But you never know. If a really talented player slips out of the first round, you know, maybe one of the top four tackles slips. Maybe, you know, like an Andrew Thomas somehow slips at 34. I don't really see that happening. But say that he slips at 34, I think that would be really hard to pass up. Or maybe one of these really talented defensive tackles, defensive ends. You know, A.J. Epinesa, if he slips at 34 somehow after kind of a tough combine. So there are definitely a lot of ways that it would fall there. But I think with the talent in this wide receiver class and with some of the guys who fit Ballard's need probably being around there, I really think I would probably look at the wide receiver position if I went quarterback in the first round.
I agree with you there. I think one guy I'm really starting to fall in love with, I don't even know if he's going to be that at this point because it seems like everyone's buying the buzz on him, and that's Denzel Mims of Baylor. What's your thought on him, Zach? Because I feel like he's the type of guy, if we're thinking of Devin Funchess last year, the kind of big guy that Frank Reich fell in love with, they want to put in his offense. I feel like Denzel Mims is an upgraded version of Devin Funchess, and I feel like Frank Reich would be falling head over heels for him.
Yeah, so with Mims, you know, the combine hype and Senior Bowl hype definitely get people, I think, a little bit higher than where he should be in this class. And you know, I'm not saying it's not deserved. I mean, he had a really freaky combine, and he was obviously the best receiver down there at the Senior Bowl. So, you know, all this buzz is definitely well warranted for him. But for me, you know, when you turn the film, you see that athleticism. You see the contested catchability. You see the way that he can move out there and some of the plays he can make. I think my only real concerns with him are, you know, his hands are being consistent. He has those drops. He has some concentration drops, kind of like a Funchess as he was coming to Indianapolis. But also, I don't think the route running is quite there yet. You know, for a guy with his athleticism, he really didn't separate too much at Baylor. And I think that's a bit of a concern. But overall, I think what you're looking at is a guy with great size, great mentality, has all the athleticism in the world. He can make a lot of those really tough plays and really bail a quarterback out. So, you know, I don't know if I'd have him grade as a first round pick, probably a second rounder for me, maybe an early to mid second round guy is where I'm going to have him. But yeah, I mean, if a team takes him the first, I'd absolutely understand. If the Colts took him at 34, it makes a lot of sense. And one more thing to note is his run blocking, which never really gets talked about for receivers, unless we're talking about Zach Pascal for the Colts last year, who was excellent in that department. Denzel Mims is a really good run blocker, and I asked him about it down at the Senior Bowl. And, yeah, his face lit up. He got super excited. He loves talking about his run blocking. It's something that he's really, you know, proud of. And that's definitely something the Colts coaching staff really looks at, especially, you know, again, looking at guys like Pascal and even Chester Rogers the last couple of years was a good run blocker. So, I definitely think he fits a lot of what the Colts like and what the Colts need. And if he's there at 34, I think that could be a very logical pick. But at this point, I don't know if he'll be there at 34.
If I'm not mistaken, Zach, I believe you had Brandon Ayuk as your Build-A-Ballard type of guy as far as who Ballard might like the most from your series you do on Stampede Blue. And if I'm wrong on that, correct me. But I believe with a guy like Brandon Ayuk, he fits so much the box for this Colts team, especially character-wise on the field. You look how explosive he has yards as a catch. And Ballard's mentioned multiple times he just wants guys who can get the ball and go and score. And I feel like Ayuk is definitely that – kind of ideal complement to a T.Y. Hilton where he could be almost like a Deebo Samuel we saw last year.
Yeah, for sure. Brandon Ayuk is the guy that I actually personally don't love in this class. I do like him. I think he's you know, like a late second round player for me in this class. But, you know, when I see him, I just see kind of that perfect Ballard mold. And if any of you listening are not familiar with the Build a Ballard series, I just go back through all of Chris Ballard's draft picks at the time with the Colts and also a lot of his time with the Chiefs. Even though he didn't really directly pick those players to the Chiefs, he definitely had some influence. So I'm trying to see kind of what traits and what aspects he looks for in certain positions. And with wide receiver, I mean, it was a lot of, you know, players would have good wingspans, guys who are at the Senior Bowl, guys who can make plays after the catch, guys who are really good athletes, and, you know, guys who are just explosive and can just kind of do things with the ball in their hand. And, you know, we kind of saw that mold hit perfectly with Paris Campbell last year and what Ballard took. And this year, I think AU kind of fits that really well. You know, he's a little bit raw as a route runner, and he's a little bit raw getting off press and getting down the field. But once he gets off the line, he can get vertical. And once he gets the ball in his hand in the short and intermediate game, I mean, he's really hard to get down. He had a great combine. He had a good Senior Bowl. I mean, especially the media part, because he didn't really practice all week, but he had a good Senior Bowl, you know, media time and meetings with the coaches. So I just think he checks a lot of boxes that the Colts look for. And I think that, you know, if he's available at 34, I think that could be a very logical pick. I mean, he jumped out of the gym at the combine and he had a pretty good overall time there and a good senior season. So, yeah, I definitely think he could be a good fit for the Colts.
I think the last receiver should hit on here as far as a realistic option at 34. I feel like he's going to be on the board personally at this point is Laviska Shenault of Colorado. Nobody would have thought that a couple months ago, especially at the beginning of the season with how much hype he had. Unfortunately, it's been injuries that are slowing him down, and that kind of worries me, honestly, Zach, because I know maybe it's just recency bias to the Colts, but I don't want to have another situation we saw last year with Paris Campbell. I know those freak injuries in Paris, and it's not really an injury history with him, but I don't want to have that maybe risk with Shenault, but the upside here is obviously huge with him.
Yeah, you know, it's tough because Shenault, you definitely see the athletic ability on tape. And, you know, a lot of people point out that 4.55 combine, but he ran a 4.55 with – I don't know exactly what the injury was, but I think it was a fracture to his like pubic bone or something like that is what it was. And he still ran a 4.55. I think overall that's pretty freaky. I don't really think I could even walk 40 yards if I had injury, you know, anywhere down that area. So I think that just is a testament to how much of an athlete and how much a competitor he is. But, you know, on the field, there are some question marks when it comes to the route running and overall play as a receiver for him. But yeah, it's an all upside, all risk, all upside pick if you were to take Ballard Shenault, because the injury history there, he's not really fully developed as a receiver. But man, what he can do with the ball in his hands and what he really could be in the NFL, I think that there's a lot to like. So, you know, if the Colts or whoever takes a chance on him in that second round, I definitely would understand it. Maybe with the second round pick, if he falls that far for the Colts, I think that'd be interesting. But yeah, I'm with you. I think the injury history is definitely concerning, especially for a team that had, you know, Andrew Luck retired before the season started and had Paris Campbell go through all that and Devin Funchess have his own injury to start the year and T.Y. Hilton battling injuries. You know, it was a very injury plagued season for the Colts. So I could understand if they had fear going into this draft with a guy like Laviska Shenault.
We should also hit on Zaga going down just the scenario of they do go quarterback at 13. Defensive tackle in round 2, I think, definitely makes a lot of sense alongside wide receiver. And I think the first two guys we hit on in that 34-44 range are Neville Gallimore of Oklahoma and Ross Blacklock of TCU. Both guys might not even be on the board 34, but what's your thoughts on both those guys? They seem like really good.
Yeah, they definitely fit the Colts because they have a lot of that athleticism and they're very good in like kind of one gap type of scheme. You know, a lot of nose tackles, because that's what both of them are. They're both nose tackles. They don't really fit that three tech mold that Ballard said he's looking for this offseason. They're kind of more of that one tech on the inside. But yeah, they have the athletic ability to really shoot gaps. And that's kind of where Marcus Hunt had his explosion for the Colts, not last year, but the year before, where he was just able to get upfield and shoot gaps and disrupt plays. I think guy like Gallimore or guy like Blacklock could really excel in that role. So yeah, I could definitely see those guys as fits there on the inside. You know, they're both still kind of growing. I think Blacklock right now is a little bit better than a player like Gallimore, but Gallimore is just such a freak athlete that it's kind of tough to kind of gauge where you take those two guys. But yeah, I think either one of them would be a pretty solid pick there, 34 or 44.
I think another defensive tackle on this list here, Zach, Justin Madubuike of Texas A&M. I feel like he's more of a natural three tech. He's a guy I think could be more in that. If they do, let's say, go 13, Jordan Love, 34, Brandon Ayuk, I think 44, Madubuike might be there. I feel like he might be actually a good fit as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think he's definitely a better fit, in my opinion, than those other two guys just because, yeah, he is more of that natural three tech, and he plays with really good leverage, really good hand strength, really good gap penetration. I just think that he's overall a better fit for the Colts than those other two guys. But, yeah, we'll have to see where he falls, though, because he's really interesting because I don't know if he fits every single team's kind of scheme up front. So he could go, you know, late first round. He could go mid to late second round. I just think it's all going to kind of be a fit with him. But, yeah, his film is outstanding. He has a lot of really good moments on film where he wins with just, you know, leveraging his pads and getting up the middle and really penetrating those gaps. So, yeah, I think he could be a really good fit for the Colts as well. And that's definitely a guy I really like for them.
I think also we should hit on maybe developmental tackles as well because Anthony Costanzo, it's been mentioned multiple times, Stephen Holder reiterated today on a tweet that it's going to be a one-year deal for Costanzo this year, going year to year at this point. So, maybe 2 or 3 years tops you have now with AC, Zach. So, you have to think maybe in the third round or even earlier than that, maybe 34 or 44, a left tackle might be in play for this team and how much Chris Ballard values the trenches. Would that surprise you at all if they do go tackle that early? And maybe who are some names you could think of as far as in that 44 to 75 range?
Yeah, yeah. No, it would not surprise me whatsoever if Ballard went tackle at 44 or 75 or even went tackle at 34. I think that Ballard values that offensive line play so high. It's definitely something that he really likes to hang his hat on. So, yeah, I definitely could see him throwing some picks, like some early picks at it. I mean, we saw right when he first got to Indy, not his first year drafting, but his second year, he spent, you know, the 6th overall pick and the 35th overall pick on offensive linemen and really shored up that whole O-line. So, yeah, I definitely think that's something that he's going to address in this draft. It might be earlier than a lot of people are willing to accept. But, yeah, this is a really, really talented offensive tackle group. You know, we got the top 4 guys who should be, like, top 10, top 15 picks. They're all really talented. But, you know, after that, there's a lot of intriguing guys. You know, Matthew Peart out of UConn was down the Senior Bowl, fits a lot about what Ballard liked with that. But he had an insane wingspan. He can kind of get anybody from any angle, and he's just a road grader in the run game. I mean, he just runs over guys as a run blocker, which I know is something that Ballard and the Colts will like. He definitely needs to develop a bit as a pass blocker. He did have his struggles down the Senior Bowl, but, you know, if you're looking for a guy to really develop, I think in that 44 to 75 range, Matthew Peart would be a really good fit. And then other guys, you know, Ezra Cleveland from Boise State just had an insane combine, which, you know, was kind of alluded to with his tape and also with what a lot of people were reporting that he was going to have that insane combine, but also has connections to Strasser and Clayton Adams. They both coached at Boise State. They both, you know, really familiar with that program. So I'm sure they've had their eye on Cleveland for a couple of years. So, you know, Cleveland could be another guy who really fits in that 44 to 75 range. And then, you know, a couple other guys I'll just rattle off here. You know, Lucas Niang out of TCU. He's a really talented player. I mean, he's a really good pass blocker. He just kind of had his injury issues the last couple of years, but I think he's going to be a really good player. So if they can get him at 44, I think that's kind of a steal there. And then, you know, even Josh Jones, he could fall out that first round with a kind of average combine. And I think he had a really good Senior Bowl and he has some really good tape. So there's definitely a lot of options for the Colts in this draft. It's, you know, personally, in my opinion, I think the offensive tackle group is actually deeper than the wide receiver group that people are kind of hyping up. I think this is the best tackle class I've seen in my lifetime, you know, scouting the game or even following the game. I just think there's so many good offensive tackles in this class, and there's a lot of directions they could go. So luckily the Colts have that need for a developmental tackle in a really deep class.
Last few questions I have for you, Zach. Appreciate the time as always. I just actually did a mock draft sim while you were talking there through the left tackle options, and let's say hypothetically, this is their first 3 rounds, okay? Jordan Love at 13, Brandon Ayuk at 34, Justin Madubuike at 44, and Matthew Peart at 75. Is that a home run kind of draft for the Colts?
Yeah, you know, I think you kind of hit on a lot of what the Colts are, you know, needing in this class. You know, they need that quarterback. They need someone to develop and someone who they can really work with to kind of have a future for this team, and I think Jordan Love is that. And then I think at 34, with a guy like Ayuk, you know, you have a guy who not only can get open deep and win vertically, but also can win underneath and make some plays. So I really love that pick as well. And then, you know, we talked about Madubuike and yeah, his fit with his defense is great. And then Matthew Peart, you know, I just rambled on about him. I really love his fit as a developmental guy and kind of, you know, also as that swing tackle behind Smith and Costanzo, who, you know, Joe Haig might be leaving this year. We don't really know what's going to happen with that. But yeah, getting a guy like Peart to kind of be that swing tackle and be a developmental guy, I think that would be a great fit. So yeah, I definitely think it's a home run draft for sure.
All right, Zach, we're less than a week away from free agency here. And I before I let you go here, any big things you expect from this Colts team as we approach free agency here? Because I feel like the legal tender period opens here in about 3 or 4 days. And do you think we'll hear anything about the Colts, about with these top wave free agent guys like Jadeveon Clowney or any guys like that? What do you think?
Well, my one prediction that's guaranteed to come true is I know we're going to hear about the Colts being in on all these guys, or at least, you know, some of them, just because – you know, people trying to look for easy stories will throw the Colts out there as a name is interested because they have so much cap space. But, you know, I think it's interesting because, you know, last offseason, we all thought the Colts should have spent because they had their window. You know, you had Andrew Luck. You have it's a time for winning, you know, and you have an easy pitch to free agents. You can say, hey, we have Andrew Luck. We have a chance of winning this thing. Come play for us. I think it's a little tougher now because there is that, you know, it's just that fear of quarterback play. You don't know who it's going to be. You don't know what kind of the deal is going to be there going forward. So I think we'll see. I do think the Colts will be in the quarterback market. I think they'll be looking at maybe a guy like Phillip Rivers, maybe a Tom Brady, probably not. But I think they'll be looking at quarterbacks, maybe even looking at the trade market with Nick Foles. But we'll have to see with that. And then I think it'll kind of be somewhat status quo with Chris Ballard. I think he'll definitely, you know, dip his toes into the big free agent market and try to land one of those top guys, but I don't think he's going to pay more than what he thinks these guys are worth. If that's enough to grab these guys in free agency, you know, awesome. But I just don't really think he's going to overpay because it's not really his philosophy. But, one thing we know for sure, he's going to grab a bunch of guys he'll grab a bunch of guys that are good values and guys that we – at first look, we don't think are going to be major contributors, and then they end up being pretty good for the team. We've seen that for a couple of years with Chris Ballard. So, I would just say for all Colts fans getting ready for free agency period, just, you know, get excited for it. Hopefully we can land a big guy in free agency. But either way, I feel like Ballard's going to be fine and grab some good players.
Yeah, it's going to be a very fun free agency period here. And Zach, appreciate you coming on as always. You can follow him on Twitter @ZachHicks2. Read his work over on Stampede Blue. Appreciate the time, man.